This morning early, the Lord spoke clearly these two words: I'm coming. The day of my return is at hand. Let my people know it's about to happen. What is about to occur will change world history. Nothing will remain the same. Let the unbelievers, let the skeptics, let the religious ones know that what they fear the most is about to happen. My warm season of grace and mercy will soon turn to a chilling winter of judgment and wrath.
Tonight, you're listening to Prophecy Quake. I'm your host, Pastor Dean Odell, along with my co-host, Pastor Billy Painter, and Pastor Kevin Wilkinson. We welcome you to be with us tonight. We hope that you will learn something tonight or hear something tonight that will shake you and wake you. Just before we get into our subject this evening, I want to say this as clear as I can. Tonight's episode is an R-rated episode. We're going to get in to aspects of real Islam, both the violence and of jihad that's taught in the Quran and the Hadiths and the Sunnah. We're also going to get into the issues of sexual jihad, the rape, the child molesting that goes on, that's taught within Islam. But we're also going to be looking at many of the headlines today. We're going to be looking at Bible prophecy concerning Islam and what's going on in the world today. We get into some very heavy subjects, not for those who are weak of constitution or weak in their stomach. And again, this is one of those times that the kids either need to be in bed or they need to be playing in another room where they can't hear the broadcast, because some of this is difficult to take, but we need to get a hold of it. We need to grasp it. Lots going on in the world today. Of course, we're going to talk about real Islam because, of course, in the press, in the Western media, we're hearing about what ISIS is doing. We're hearing about what's going on in Syria, what's been going on in Egypt, and we get little blurbs here and there in the media about the beheadings, about the brutality, about the rape, what they're calling sexual jihad now. Very little you hear about the killing of the children, beheading of children, but it's going on. But bottom line, we just got to address that the Bible foretold Islam 500 years before Muhammad came on the scene, before the Quran was ever written. The Bible has been here long before that. And I'm just talking about 500 years, the New Testament, the last book of the New Testament, the book of Revelation, written in AD 96. Of course, Muhammad didn't come in until the early 7th century. So long before Muhammad started Islam and wrote the Quran, and we have all this stuff that we're seeing the fruit of it today, God had some things to say about Islam in the last days. So I'm going to do this real quick before our news segment, because I want to set this up. Of course, we're a little different, radio show, news show, because we want to really focus in on what the Bible has to say, God's Word, what Jesus taught, what the apostles taught, what the prophets, the Hebrew prophets taught of old. And we want you to know what the Bible says, because it is current. It is up to date. It is what is happening in the news right now. Now, the book of Revelation, chapter 6, we're going to start there. This will be something that many of you already know, because we've shared several times in these programs, and I've preached on them several times through our church. So just bear with me if you've heard these things, because we have new listeners all the time, and many of them have not heard these things. But there's three places in the book of Revelation that we see God giving a picture of Islam and the spirit of Islam and its mentality and its acts and its geography, its regional location. And we're going to see three things about it that's very clear that the Bible foretold here in Revelation chapter 6. First of all, let's just read it. This is when Jesus was opening the seals, and there's six seals. seven seals, I'm sorry, in chapter 6. We'll just start reading at verse 1. And he said, I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, and one of the four beasts saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to it, or to him that sat thereon, to take peace from the earth, and that there should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. And when he opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see, and behold, lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, three measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, or a green horse. In the Greek, the word pale is chloros. It's green, should be translated green. And he said, I looked, and behold, a pale horse, a green horse. And his name that sat thereon was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over a fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword and with hunger and with the beast of the earth. And then it's interesting what immediately follows the fourth seal, this green horse, is the fifth seal, or martyrdom. And it says, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for yet a little season, until their fellow servants and also of their brethren should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. And I beheld, and when he opened the sixth seal, lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell into the earth, and my head was pulled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains. And said to the mountains of the rocks, fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb, that is Jesus Christ, for the great day of his wrath is come. Who shall be able to stand? Now the sixth seal is the second coming of Jesus Christ. This is clearly revealed when you look at Matthew 24. The moon does not give off its light, the stars fall from heaven, the tribes of the earth mourn because they see the coming of the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. And they realize the day, not just the seven-year period, but the day of his wrath has come. But before that, we see God giving an unfolding kind of how things are going to go down. Really, the seals are a story of how the end times works out. The trumpets are another story, and the vials are another story. Just like Luke tells the same story of the gospel of Jesus Christ, John does, Matthew does, Mark does, but they tell it a little different way. Give us more information, some less, but the story's the same, and that's the way the book of Revelation is broken down. But we see the first revelation here of Islam in this fourth seal. Now, we know that because we know that the sacred color of Islam is green. We know that the first four horsemen, these colors are significant. We know that they are spirits because of Zechariah 6, the comparison of scripture with scripture. So we know that these are evil spirits that carry ideologies that are going to have great influence and the power to bring about a lot of deception, a lot of death, and a lot of destruction. So these aren't God spirits, good spirits. These are evil spirits that are released in the earth because of man's sin to bring about the last days and the judgment of God. Well, one of these evil spirits, it says, is a pale horse or a green horse. Now, we know that the sacred color of Islam is green. We also know, it says, that the rider on that horse, that his name is Death. We also know that Islam is obsessed with death. And it says, hell followed with him, and power was given to them over a fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast. So we see here very clearly that it says this green horse is going to have power over one quarter of the earth. Right now, there's approximately 1.8 billion homes in the world. The world population is 7 billion. You can do the math. It's 0.25 or one-fourth of the earth that they have. This spirit has the ideology of Islam, evil ideology, and murder and suicide bombers. This is the mentality. And notice it says to kill people with a sword. Folks, I'm just going to tell you now. A lot of people wouldn't have believed this for many years, but now the news headlines. I'm riding my car today. I'm listening to the news over different radio networks. I'm switching between them. And I'm hearing the news talk about beheadings. This American journalist was beheaded. Now we've had a second one beheaded. We're seeing mass beheadings in the Middle East, in Syria, in Iraq. And we're seeing it happen in Europe. We've had someone beheaded in New Jersey. A lot of people don't know that not too long ago that someone was beheaded over in Georgia, and they still haven't solved that crime. But who would have thought we would be talking about the subject of being killed with a sword or a knife, whatever. Sometimes, you know, a long knife can be called a sword. But that this green horse here, this evil green spirit that has death riding on it, would be characterized by killing people with a sword. And the very next thing that follows it is people being killed because of their witness for Jesus, that they are Christians. And what does Islam hate the most besides the Jews? Of course, Christians. And they're wiping out Christianity and all Christians throughout the Middle East right now. ISIS, Al-Nusra, Hamas, all these different groups of Islam want to destroy Christianity. Now, what a lot of people don't understand, and we're going to get into tonight, they don't understand. They think that this is just a radical form of Islam, and that the Islamic teachings do not teach these things like beheading the infidel or those who don't believe, or sexual jihad, or even sex with children, and so on down the line. They think that this is somehow an aberration, that this is somehow some kind of foreign mutation, that this is not found in the teachings of Islam. But I got news for you. It's found in the Quran, it's found in the Sunnah, it's found in the Hadith, it's found in the most sacred writings of Islam, but it's found in the life of the Prophet Muhammad, that they are told to follow, that they are told to emulate, that they're told that he is the perfect man, the one they should model their life after. Everything I just said, he did all those things. He massacred people, Jews and Christians. He beheaded hundreds upon hundreds of people. He married a six-year-old. We're going to get into this. He married a six-year-old girl and consummated that marriage when she was 9 and he was 54. He did some other horrible things. The man had a horribly perverted sex life and sexual obsessions. He really is some kind of piece of work. But I want you to see, here's the book of Revelation. Of course, the term Islam didn't exist. Muhammad didn't exist in 96 A.D., but the Bible gives us a picture, a vision of a spirit that would come and what it would do, and we see it manifesting in the sacred color of Islam being green. We see it manifested in this obsession with death. We see it now manifested in these last days over having a power and authority over one quarter of the earth, and we also see it fully manifested in it killing with the sword and hating Christians. So let's see, that's your first picture of Islam in the book of Revelation. We're going to look at another one, and we've talked about this one quite a bit on previous episodes, but this is Revelation 9, the sixth trumpet war, and we'll look at it in verse 13. It says, "And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns off the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. And the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour, a day, a month, and a year, to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, or 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat thereon, having breastplates of fire, and jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. And by these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths." So we see here a war coming that's going to kill a lot of people, possibly one-third of mankind, as we've discussed, that it looks like it's one-third of mankind globally, but that this war starts in the Euphrates River region, which is Turkey and Syria and Iraq and Iran. So we're shown here in the book of Revelation, because the Euphrates River runs through those four nations, that World War III, that at a great war before Armageddon, before the second coming of Jesus Christ, that a great war is coming, and that who's going to start it? Islamist. These countries. Turkey. Turkey's where the Euphrates River originates. 98% Islamic. Syria, Islamic. Turkey runs, Euphrates River runs all the way through Turkey and Syria. Then it runs all the way through Iraq, Islamic, now taken over by ISIS, right? And then it touches Iran. So we know about Iran trying to get a nuclear bomb. So what I'm saying is, here's another picture of great death and destruction coming from where? The Islamic region of the world in the last days. And folks, it's coming. The last one, we'll go to Revelation 20, just so you'll see this. The Bible talks about the Antichrist, and this is really not the last one, because I believe the Antichrist is referred to as being Muslim in Revelation 13, but we don't have time. We're not going to deal with that. So let's just say number 4. But Revelation 20, when he says, and we're going to go to verse 4, and this is after the second coming of Jesus, and this is the judgment seat of Christ. And he says, I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that is part in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. So we see here, he talks about these people who face the Antichrist. He faced this Antichrist spirit. And notice it uses the term, they were beheaded for their witness for Jesus. Well, folks, I'm not saying that no one else will use the method of beheading Christians in the days ahead, but there is a group of people on the earth that's already doing it, that's been doing it for quite some time. But now we are seeing really the last days, end time resurgence of beheading of Christians taking place in North Africa, taking place across the Middle East. And like I said, it's beginning to pop up in Mexico, in Europe, even here in America. We're going to see more and more of this type of execution and martyring for faith. And again, Muslims truly believe, it's not just the radicals, but a true Muslim that believes the Quran, that believes the Hadith and the Sunnah, they really believe that infidels should be killed. If they won't submit or convert, they should be killed. So we're going to address that. We're going to look at that. But I wanted you to see from the book of Revelation, we have a pretty accurate description of an evil that would be in the last days, just prior to the return of Jesus, that would cause the martyrdom of many Christians by beheading. And we know that that is Islam. There is no doubt. So listen, we're going to be back in just a moment. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back with the news, the current Bible prophecy in the news headlines of the day and this week. And when we get done with that, we're going to dive into this subject. Again, remember, this show tonight is R-rated, so make sure that you have the children out of the room. And you've been warned.
and we're sick of people telling how it should be. What you download, where to get your info? You saw the hype show, now you're in the endo. Gonna tell you what I believe. Oh, this is what it is, this is who I am, this is where I finally take my stand. I didn't wanna fall, but I don't have to crawl. I'm not the one with two stars.
Prophecy, world news, and the supernatural power of Jesus Christ. You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Time for Prophecy Quake, Prophecy in the News with Pastor Billy Painter.
Good evening. These are the news headlines for September 2nd, 2014. Breaking news, WorldNet Daily, approximately 1 hour ago, announced that 11 jet airliners are missing after Islamists take over an airport. 11 commercial jets have been stolen in Libya in recent weeks. Western intelligence agencies have begun warnings that they could be used for terror attacks on 9/11. Who needs ballistic missiles when you have stolen airliners to use? Report out of Nigeria, Muslims are now killing people like chickens. They are now killing people like chickens. They started by selective killings and later went on a killing spree, according to locals in Nigeria's Gambura Nagala area. They threatened to kill anybody who refuses to leave the town. They say, "We don't belong." They've been breaking into homes and shops. ...and beheaded. Women were forced to become Muslim, and then they were taken as wives to the terrorists. In other news, a British jihadist mother threatens to behead Christians. In London, a middle-aged British mother of two and former rock band member has joined jihadists in Syria and wants to behead Christians with a blunt knife. Sally Jones, 45, from Kent. She now goes by the name of Sakina Hussein. Security estimates that there are hundreds of Britons now who have gone to the Middle East to join the Islamic State militant group, and the most brutal to emerge out of Syria's bloody battle and civil wars, and they have become the most successful. It just keeps going on and on, folks. It is amazing how the once said and coined Arab Spring has now become the Arab chaos. Florida, pretty close to home here in the state of Alabama, Muslims threatened to kidnap an American and behead him. According to Volusia County sheriffs, two men were arrested after starting a bar fight, and then they began making threats. Faisal Al-Ghandadi and Ahmed Hindi started a brawl at a local drinking establishment. They went into the bar, they said, drunk. Drinking alcohol is, of course, forbidden in Islam, so it may be surmised that these gentlemen are not particularly devout. But when they threatened to kidnap an American and behead him, once they're released from jail, they began falling back on deeply ingrained cultural and religious touchstones. When you meet the unbelievers, strike at the necks, which is actually out of the Quran, 47:4. People start bar fights all the time, and they threaten to kill people all the time. But when one brings in beheading, one reveals an Islamic supremacist outlook or upbringing. The Associated Press is reporting out of Beirut that the Islamic State extremists released a video Tuesday purportedly showing the beheading of a second American journalist, Stephen Sotloff, and warning President Barack Obama that as long as the United States airstrikes against the militant groups continue, our knife will continue to strike the necks of your people. Footage was released depicting what the U.S. called a sickening act of brutality. And it was posted 2 weeks after the release of a video showing the killing of James Foley, and just days after Sotloff's mother pleaded for his the killings continue. Muslim pedophilia in the United Kingdom ignored by the politically correct authorities. This was a report out of the New American. It's a shocking revelation. Authorities in the UK ignored a child trafficking ring. Detailed the abuse. About 1,400 children were sexually exploited in a northern England town, a report concluded Tuesday. Report author Alexis Jay cited appalling acts of violence that have been going on since 1997 in the town of Rotherham, a town of about 250,000 people. The report described rapes by multiple perpetrators, mainly from Britain's Pakistani community, and how children were trafficked to other towns and cities in the north of England as they were abducted, beaten, and intimidated. These crimes continued for 16 years, not because authorities were unaware of them, but rather because of an apparent hear no evil, see no evil, speak no evil attitude in the government. British jihadists continue to go, they're flocking over to the Middle East. And it's not just over in the United Kingdom. There could actually be a training camp by the terrorists in your very own town here in the United States of America. This is a list of 30 known terrorist locations inside the United States. Yes, I just said inside the United States. The 30 known locations are as follows: Marion, Alabama; Bedula, California; Oak Hill, California; Squaw Valley, California; Tulare County, California; Buena Vista, Colorado; Tallahassee, Florida; Commerce, Georgia; Jessup, Georgia; Springfield, Massachusetts; Hagerstown, Maryland; Hyattsville, Maryland; Coldwater, Michigan; Binghamton, New York; Deposit, New York; Hancock, New York, which is supposed national headquarters; Tallahena, Oklahoma; Philadelphia, Pennsylvania; Sailorsburg, Pennsylvania; York, South Carolina; Dover, Tennessee; Houston, Texas; Waco, Texas; Fairfax, Virginia; Falls Church, Virginia, Marion, Virginia, Red House, Virginia, Roanoke, Virginia, Bethany, West Virginia, and Onalaska, Washington. 30 known terrorist training locations in the United States. When will this madness stop? These have been the headlines for September 2nd, 2014.
Sign of thy coming and of the end of the world was take heed that no man deceive you. Jesus repeated this warning four times in Matthew 24 alone. He even mentioned that these false prophets would do great signs and wonders. With that being said, why then has the church become so lax in guarding itself against deception? Why do most Christians continue to embrace almost anyone or anything that claims to be from God? In the polluted church, I will share how the Holy Spirit led me to the truth about the Egyptian Desert Fathers, the Roman Catholic Church, the emerging church, and the current prayer and prophetic movements in the charismatic church. Discover how the doors to the church have been opened wide to Satan by false prophets, counterfeit manifestations, and the use of Eastern meditative techniques such as repetitious prayers, visualization, and even astral projection. Chances are you or someone you know have been affected by these demonic practices and deceptions that have crept into the church. It is time to cleanse the house of God. Get your copy of The Polluted Church from Rome to Kansas City today by going to deanodal.org, or if you want an ebook, go to any ebook store and type in The Polluted Church. You can call the number on the screen if you can see it. If you can't see it, let me pull it up here. The number is 347-884-8566, 347-884-8566. You can actually call that number on your phone if you're having a problem with your computer, or the website at blogtalkradio.com. You can call that number and listen to the broadcast that way. But we are going to record this because it seems that we are experiencing some issues. People out there can't, are not being able to log on or listen. But we'll do the best we can. We'll get this out, and we can get it out on iTunes as well. Of Islam, and the real Islam, I might add here. We've got some audio clips that I want to play for you tonight, because I want to lay the groundwork, and we may have to do part two of this next week to cover everything that we need to cover, but this is an important subject. I want to say very clearly that I am not here, nor any of us in our church, We're not out to attack Muslims. We don't hate Muslims. We don't. We want Muslims to be free to worship what they want to worship, how they want to worship, except when it comes to wanting to rape and kill and destroy people and destroy, you know, freedom and things of that nature. But if, you know, we're for freedom of religion. But bottom line, we don't hate Muslims. A lot of people think when you get on this subject, oh, they hate Muslims or they're Islamophobes or, you know, it's always accusations thrown out. But I have been to countries where there are many Muslims, even a Muslim majority. I've seen the good and the bad. But we're going to be talking about tonight, what does Islam teach? What does the Quran teach? What does the Sunnah teach? What does the Hadith? Well, a lot of people don't realize the difference, of course, but let's just lay this this groundwork here. Of course, the Quran is what Muhammad claims to have gotten directly from God through the angel Gabriel. Now, I don't believe it was really the angel Gabriel, but that's what he claims, is that the Quran was given to him by Allah through Gabriel. And, of course, anybody can claim anything. Joseph Smith claims that the angel Moroni gave him some golden tablets, and he wrote another testament of Jesus Christ through those things that contradict what's already been written. Muhammad did basically the same thing. And, of course, Muhammad comes after Jesus Christ, the Lord, the true prophet, the true apostle, the true Son of God, and God in the flesh. The true prophet said that in the last days many false prophets would rise and deceive many. So we have to remember in that context, Muhammad came after Jesus gave that warning. But we're going to get into that. A lot of people don't understand the different writings, but when I mentioned the Sunnah and I mentioned the Hadith, these are the writings of people who were close to Muhammad, who were around him when he was alive, who saw the things he did and what he said, how he lived his life, how he did, and they wrote these things down. And many of these things have been carefully documented, and that they were transmitted correctly down through the last several centuries. You have to understand that this is very important, that the Sunnah and the Hadith in Islam are looked at almost, not quite, but almost at the same level as the Quran. And this is what most Westerners and Americans and Europeans, most of us don't understand the teachings of Islam. We hear the media say it is a religion of peace. When another Muslim happens to with the religion of Islam, that's radicalism, that's extremism. But see, there's a big difference, because that's just not the case. And I've had people, even recently Christians, jump on my case because I've said some things about Muslims they didn't like. But see, what they don't understand is, if they come across a Muslim who appears to be or may be a moderate, who wants to live their lives in peace, they want to raise their kids, they want to make a living, they're not out trying to create an Islamic state, a caliphate, or Sharia law. They're just trying to live their lives. They're more secular. Here's the deal. They may claim to be Muslim, but see, the point of the ISIS boys in Syria and Iraq is, and the reason they're killing many of these Muslims is because they are saying that there are many then you choose to live your life in obedience to the commands of God as revealed in the New Testament through the Old Testament. Many times, I've preached many sermons over the years. You know, the scripture that comes to mind just first is 1 John 2 and verse 4, which says, John is saying, the Apostle John is talking about Jesus, and he said, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." So what is that saying? That anybody can say Jesus is my Lord or I'm a Christian, but if you don't live the life, you're not a true Christian. And I just want to say this, that a true Muslim that lives according to the Quran, the Sunnah, and the Hadiths are Muslims that believe in violent jihad, and that in jihad, when they are trying to spread Islam and help Islam spread and take over the world, that anything is acceptable. But within the Quran and the Sunnah and the Hadith, you're going to find all kinds of things. Mass murder, the killing of prisoners, execution of prisoners. you're going to see everything from adultery. Muhammad committed adultery. Muhammad had sex with his aunt. Pedophilia. You're going to see every type of perversion. And within Muhammad's life, taught as the way of life for the true Muslim. And I'm going to show you this, I'm going to prove this, because we have some audio clips this evening. And the first audio clip I'm going to play for you is a Muslim conference. It's a Sunni Muslim conference. And the majority of Muslims in the world are Sunni and not Shiite. But still, they still hold to basically the same belief system. And this is a Muslim, and it had to be in a Western country. I cannot tell if it's in Europe or if it's in somewhere in the United States. It could be in Dearbornistan, Michigan. But, you know, maybe, I don't know. But there were several thousand people there. They had some of their most educated sheikhs, or however they say that, that basically their PhDs, their doctors of theology. They had a panel. They had a moderator. But this was an Islamic teaching thing, and they were doing a question and answer period. This Islamic cleric gets up and he says, let me just answer this and let me just explain to you some questions. So we're going to play this audio clip, and you're going to hear it for yourself, that basically the Muslims tell you that all the punishments, all the violence, all the things taught in the Quran, they believe are the best way and the way it should be in the world. And that is what they believe. So here is, and I'm talking about Muslim scholars, Muslim clerics, doing a large conference, telling it to you as plainly as you can, Westerner, you better pay attention. Here it is.
Because every now and then, every time we have a conference, every time we invite a speaker, they always can come with the same accusations. This speaker supports death penalty for homosexuals. This speaker supports death penalty for this crime or this crime or that. He is homophobic. They subjugate women, etc., etc., etc. It's the same old stuff coming all the time. And we always try to tell them, I always try to tell them that, look, it's not that speaker that we're inviting who has these extreme radical views, as you say. These are general views that every Muslim actually has. Every Muslim believes in these things. Just because they're not telling you about it, or just because they're not out there in the media, doesn't mean they don't believe in them. So I will ask you, everyone in the room, how many of you are normal Muslims? You're not extremists, you're not radical, this is normal Sunni Muslims. Please raise your hands. Everybody, mashallah, subhanallah. Okay, take down your hands again. How many of you agree that men and women should sit separate? Please raise your hands. Everyone agree. Everyone agree. Brothers and sisters. SubhanAllah. So it's not just this radical sheikh then. Allahu Akbar. Next question. How many of you agree that the punishments described in the Quran and the Sunnah, whether it is death, whether it is stoning for adultery, whatever it is, if it is from Allah and His Messenger, that is the best punishment ever possible for humankind, and that is what we should apply in the world? Well, who agrees with that? Allahu Akbar. Are you all the radical extremists? SubhanAllah. So all of you are saying that you are common Muslims. You all go to the different masajids, no way. Or are you like a specific sect, like the Islamnet sect or anything like that? Are you like that? No. Are you like that? Please raise your hand if you like this extreme Islam, that sect or anything like that. No one. Allahu Akbar. How many of you just go to these normal masajids in Norway, the normal Sunni mosque? Please raise your hands. Allahu Akbar. So what's the politicians gonna say now? What's the media gonna say now? That we're all extremists? We're all radicals? We need to deport all of us from this country? Subhanallah. Allahu Akbar. Takbir! 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 May we have the next question, please? From the sister side.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wallahi, this is the best answer I have ever heard. Okay, do you allow me to copy your answer in other places?
Of course, Sheikh.
But of course, I will claim it to myself.
It's copyright, Sheikh, copyright.
And there you have it. They're telling you very plainly that the true Muslim, the true normal Muslim believes, and he said it, if you recall in that clip, he said the punishments of death, the punishments of stoning, whatever it says in the Quran should be implemented in the world. He said, do you believe that? Everyone in the room, I saw the video myself, everyone in the room raised their hands in agreement. And so what he was saying very plainly there is no such thing as radical Islam. There is just Islam. It's just that some Muslims choose to not fully practice what their religion teaches them to do. And for some of those Muslims who refuse to live the radical, what our media wants to say, oh, these are just a few radicals, the Muslims who refuse to live the way that these other ones, these ISIS-level guys want to do according to the Quran, they will kill them too just for not living according to their religious scriptures. So here what I'm saying. I wanted you to hear that in another thing we need to consider. I'm going to play a clip that I played a few weeks ago of Prince Hassan bin Talal, the former Crown Prince of Jordan. He served as regent when his brother was sick, dying of cancer, King Hussein of Jordan. He is a direct descendant of Muhammad. He is known as a statesman throughout the Middle East and the world, Europe, America. He is highly educated at Oxford, has written many books, of course, part of very, very involved in the hierarchy of the United Nations, a lot of things. And, of course, we had a whole show talking about him possibly being the number one candidate to be the man of peace, the prince who will come, the Antichrist, a few weeks ago. But bottom line, even if he's not, he is one of the most well-known, most respected Muslim from both sides, both Shiites and Sunni Muslims. And, of course, being a direct descendant, a Hashemite, he is highly respected on all sides, and he speaks on many things. But I'm going to play a clip from you where he says very plainly that the Muslims in the Middle East, and he's talking about his people, he's not talking about one sect or one radical group, but he said we, as a people, the Arabs, the Muslims, he said we are dissemblers. We are professional liars. We lie. And I want you to hear this clip right here. This is Prince Al-Hassan bin Talal of Jordan. His nephew is King Abdullah II of Jordan. He is still part of the royal family. Very active in world affairs. Here is what he tells you about the Arab people and Islamic, which are now, he's Islamic and the majority of Arab people are Islamic. Here is what he says about that.
And they're extending their support to Hamas.
You don't buy it?
Well, I don't buy it because I think that as far as micromanagement, I mean, we come from a Byzantine civilization from centuries of dissimulation. I mean, we are professional liars. And therefore, for the United States to come to our part of the world and micromanage us by receiving, for example, a militia head in the White House or receiving a politician from Lebanon in the White House, I mean, this shows that the United States are looking at the trees rather than at the woods.
So, let's be clear. You say, do you,
that there can be no meaningful move toward lasting peace between Israel and Palestinians unless Hamas is brought in from the cold, unless Hamas is engaged with.
Well, I think even Tony Blair said almost that the other day in the European Parliament. Certainly, it's Big Brzezinski, Kissinger, and Henry Sigmund, Paul Volcker, everybody has been saying, don't fantasize about peace with the PA, with half of the PA, which after all authorized Mahmoud Abbas to negotiate in their name, excluded from the process.
Well, I find it interesting you...
And there you have it again, Prince Hassan bin Talal, direct descendant of Muhammad, part of the Hashemite royal family of Jordan, telling you very plainly that they cannot be micromanaged in the Middle East because they are liars, professional liars, who will play the game with you. We lie to misrepresent, even to misrepresent yourself, your belief, Islam, to do whatever was necessary if you were trying to further Islam and overcome or destroy the non-confidence as they call them. We're going to look at a few of the verses in the Quran. Well, you know what, before that, let's look at this, just so you understand that both we look at Muhammad. They say that in Islam, Muhammad is considered to be the ideal man or the perfect man. That's what they say, and it says, of course, I'm going to give you the verses in the Quran. You can check these. It says in the Quran that he is an excellent model of conduct. That's the Quran chapter 33, as they call it, Surah, whatever, 21. But Quran 33:21. He is an excellent model of conduct. This is what really blows my mind. And here's the exact verse. It says, certainly you have in the messenger of Allah an excellent exemplar for him who hopes in Allah and the latter day and remembers. Model your life after. Just as, again, we have the Christ and we have the Antichrist. We have, you know, the Christians are supposed to do our best to model our lives after the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Christians come from, is a bunch of believers in Jesus that the people in Antioch, the unsaved Gentiles and Jews or whoever, but the unsaved people said they were just like little Christ. They were just imitators of Jesus Christ. They just were just like him. So this is what's taught in the Quran about Muhammad. It says in the Quran chapter 68 verse, that Muhammad demonstrates an exalted standard of character. Now this, I mean, you want to know, and I know a lot of you don't know this stuff about the Quran, but you want to know, it makes me laugh. It is mind-blowing, right? But it's Quran 68 in verse 4, and he said, most assuredly, this the verse, and most assuredly you conform yourself to sublime morality. So, it's pretty amazing. But we can have Muhammad, and I just make it very clear to you what you see in ISIS. What they do trying to kill the Islamic State, Syria, and the Middle East. The Muslims' holy book instructs Muslims repeatedly to obey Muhammad. I'll give you a few of them. This is the Quran, 4:59, chapter 4:69, chapter 5:92, chapter 8, verse 1, chapter 8, verse 20, chapter 8, verse 46, chapter 9, verse 71. And I could go on. I could read numbers all day long. You can check, but there's many, many more. So there's so many. So Muhammad is the supreme example of behavior for Muslims to follow, and according to them, he is the perfect man. Okay, so that's just that he is I just gave multiple verses from the Quran. And also I saw not too long one of the sons of Hamas who became a Christian and left Hamas. And he was interviewed on an Islamic television show over in Israel. He was, you know, he lived in Gaza and he left, but he was interviewed by a Muslim interviewer on a Muslim TV show. And, you know, he said the guy trying to defend Islam and make out like, oh, there's just a few radicals and Islam not that way. And this man got, he got in, said to me, and he said to a fellow Muslim, he informed him of, he says, tell me, are we supposed to trust the model life after? They want to answer if you ask him. And you have to answer me. Look at the life of Muhammad, according to the people who lived near him, who were his most devout followers. It's amazing the things they told about him. And they loved him. Can you imagine what the people who hated him might have said? But the people who loved him, the things that they said, it's just amazing. Did you want to? Sorry, we're having a technical problem. We need to take a break. We're having a technical problem. We'll be back in just a moment. All right, we'll be back in a moment. You stay with us.
You're listening to Prophecy Quake on Blog Talk Radio.
Lift up your face, lift up your face. Salvation is calling, salvation is calling.
Lift up your face, salvation is calling, salvation is calling. Back, and you're listening to Prophecy Quake, and I'm your host, Pastor Dean Odell, and I'm sorry for the delay. We seem to be having some severe technical problems this evening. What I need to know from some of you out there, if you can call in or text, we need to know what's being heard out there. We're having really, really bad problems. Call or text, well, don't call, I'm sorry, text this number. 334-524-2809, 334-524-2809, that number to let us know if you have been able to hear, how much you've been able to hear or not hear tonight. We are really, really, really having some problems. I actually had to change from our normal mic and Skype setup. I had to get out of that. We're going to try to use the phone, but I'm having a very, very hard time even hearing what's going on right now through my earphones. But everybody's telling me that it sounds pretty good. Hang with me. We're back. Sorry about that. We're really having some issues here. But text that number again and let us know. We're just trying to get some feedback on how bad it is. And somebody let us know what was the last thing you heard, and we'll pick back up. But it is 334-524-2809. 334-524-2809. Give us a text. Let us know if you can hear or not hear tonight. Anyway, we'll continue and keep going here on this subject. Can you guys hear me? You can hear me. I can't hear myself on through the speaker at all. So this is going to be fun. Anyway. What we were talking about before all the technical problems, and I appreciate those who did call or text and let us know what was going on. But what we were talking about is just the fact of that Islam, both the Quran, the writings of Islam, the Quran, the Sunnah, the Hadith, that these things that you see ISIS doing, that you see al-Nusra, that you see Hamas doing, these evil things from beheading people to raping women and sexual jihad to trying to establish a caliphate, wanting to wipe Israel off the map. All right, we're going to take a break again. We're going to see we're having some more problems here. We will be back in just a moment. Let me see. I hope we may not be able to do the program this evening at all. I don't even know who's hearing what, but we'll be back in just a moment and see if we can work this out. Can you hear the music?
And the season is almost here, and the signs and the reasons are very clear. The fulfillment of scripture is coming true, and we're expectantly waiting. The time is due. There's a change and it's brewing, an urgent call. It's the same kind of feeling before you fall. It's a sense, it's an instinct, an inner voice. It's a test, are you listening? Have you made your choice? There's a crossroad coming, do you know your path? Are you lost and running? Do you fear the wrath? Don't you feel all the heaviness in the air? If it's real, are you ready? Is your soul prepared? There's a big thing coming and there's not much time. It's all been written by God's design. There's a plan and a purpose, it's all divine. If you're awake and you heard this, you know the sign. There's a big thing coming.
in the chasm of this growing crack. We're at the edge of the cliff and there's no turning back. And the big thing coming and there's not much time. It's all been written by God's design. There's a plan and a purpose, it's all divine. If you're awake and you heard that, you know the sign. There's a big thing coming and there's not much time. It's all been written by God's design. There's a plan and a purpose, it's all divine. If you're awake and you heard that, you know the sign. With the neighbor pains growing, you can count the days. So many earthquakes, tornadoes, and tidal waves. It's the eve of destruction, the harvest here. It's the reaping, but we will not live in fear. For our time of redemption is coming soon. By divine intervention, we'll see the truth arriving live and direct for all to view. If you haven't read the Bible, I pray you do. There's a big thing coming and there's not much time. It's all been written by God's design. There's a plan and a purpose, it's all divine. If you're awake and you heard that, you know the sign. There's a big thing coming and there's not much time. It's all been written by God's design. There's a plan and a purpose, it's all divine. If you're awake and you heard that, you know the sign. It's like time speeding up and it seems so fast. And while a month slips by, a year has passed. You hear the same kind of feeling all over the globe. Not sure just what it's revealing, but you're not alone. The same dreams that you're dreaming are all repeating. It seems that while we are sleeping, we're giving meaning. So when it all goes down, there will be no doubt. From the east to the west, to the north and south, there's a big thing coming and there's not much time. It's all been written by God's design. There's a plan and a purpose, it's all divine. If you're awake, I went down to the crossroads, fell down on my knees. I went down to the crossroads, fell down on my knees. Begged the Lord above for mercy, save me if you please. Well, I went down to the crossroads.
we're having, still having a lot of technical difficulties tonight, but this is not on our equipment at all, I can tell you that. We are having some outside interference unlike any other time. We have done now over 50 shows, probably approaching 60 shows, and the worst thing we've ever had is had a phone call dropped and had to just call back in, no big deal. But all kinds of crazy interference going on this evening. But, of course, this is an important subject because we're not talking about an issue that's not going to impact my life, your life, and the world in a serious way. When you're talking about nearly 2 billion people who have the potential to rise up and enforce their ideology upon you by the threat of death, we're talking about a serious, serious ideology. I mean, it's actually, I believe, it's more dangerous than what we saw with the birth of communism, even though communism did kill millions, tens of millions, hundreds of millions of people to enforce their ideology. It's amazing that the Red Horse, it said it had a great sword and it came to take peace from the earth. That Red Horse of communism is not going to hold a candle to the Green Horse with the rider of death and hell upon it. We know that Islam is going to impact the world in a very, very negative way in the days ahead. They already are, but it's going to get more and more and more intense in the days ahead. Now, we've had so many disruptions to this program, and I'm not sure what anybody has heard out there. What's our latest update there on hearing fine? Okay, so we had a text come in, let's know that they're hearing us fine. But if you missed some of that segment where we went through and we had some trouble, we were just talking about how Islam teaches in the Quran and the Sunnah and the Hadith that Islam teaches that Muhammad is the perfect or ideal man. He is to be emulated. He is to be modeled. He is to be followed. And it even makes the claim that he was the epitome of moral character and morality. So having said that, we just need to look at the reality of what the Quran says about just ethical and moral issues, and how did Muhammad live his life. And when we do, we get the revelation, we get the understanding that ISIS, or as they call them now themselves, IS, or the Islamic State, as they call themselves, that they are really living out the Quran, they are really living out, and they are truly modeling the behavior and the actions and the ways of Muhammad. You know, a Muslim, say, in Palestine, you know, or in the Gaza area, the Palestinian Authority, or someone maybe in Lebanon, or someone living in the United States who says they're a Muslim, but they have no desire to, they want to just, you know, get an education, they want to raise their kids, they want to live in peace. They don't want any part of this. And I know there's Muslims out there that they don't want any part of this violence and this caliphate and this jihad, and they don't want any part of it. But truly, they are really not true Muslims in the sense of modeling their lives after the prophet, we'll call him, the false prophet, Muhammad. And so, you know, and I stated that a little bit earlier. It's just like Christians. We have many people in Christianity. I mean, let's go back a little bit. Adolf Hitler claimed to be a Christian, but Adolf Hitler's actions, the way he lived, what he believed, the way he went about trying to exterminate the Jews and anybody who didn't agree with him or anybody he was fearful of, And he was a brutal, ruthless dictator that ended up starting a war that killed over 52 million people. And he personally built and had built concentration camps and gas chambers, and he killed millions, and he nearly wiped out the Jewish people. Those actions are not the actions of a Christian. Those actions are not what is taught in the New Testament. Jesus did not teach his people to mass murder people that don't agree with them. But unfortunately, the Quran does. Let's look at it. Here's one for you right here. This is a verse in the Quran talking about executing prisoners of war. Now, you know, of course, prisoners of war have always been executed in different times and seasons, but, you know, the civilized way and the merciful way and the ethical way is if someone surrenders, yes, you might put them in prison, you might put them on trial. You're just trying to keep them out of the battle and win the war. We took many Iraqi prisoners of war during the first Gulf War, and, you know, they came walking to us with their hands up, and no, they didn't get gunned down. Not in Islam. Here is the Quran, chapter 8, verse 67. It says, "It is not for a prophet that he should have prisoners of war until he had made a great slaughter in the land." Now think about that. Basically he's saying until he's had a great slaughter and he's conquered everybody and taken over everything, he can't take prisoners of war. So any prisoners of war until they Muhammad felt like he had enough authority and power through killing and plundering and taking over a region, he would just kill all the prisoners of war in that land. So that's the Quran 8, verse 67. That's exactly what we see ISIS doing. I mean, really, don't we? Keep going with that. Of course, we'll drop on down. Let's see. Well, there's plenty of Quran verses. Of course, there was one place. This is in the Surah by Ibn Hishim. This is one of the Hadith, or the Sunnah, as you would call it, but it says that there was a place where Muhammad went, and it was called the tribe of Quraza or whatever. I don't know if I'm pronouncing it correctly, but they surrendered. And it says, then they, the tribe of Quraza or Quraza, surrendered. Then he, the prophet Muhammad, sent for them and struck off their head after they surrendered. That's pretty wild, isn't it? And it just so happened there were about six, this hadith, this surah says, there were 600 or 700 in all, though some put the figure as high as 800 or 900. So somewhere between 600 and 900 men surrendered to the prophet Muhammad and his army. And what did he do? He ordered his army to, and him, he participated as well, to strike off or behead them all. So this is an action of Muhammad. This is an example that Muhammad gave, and this is exactly the example we see being followed by people like al-Nusra, the Syrian Free Army, the ISIS, Boko Haram in Nigeria. This is exactly what we're seeing. Where did they get this from? It's not some radical, mutated, hijacked, false representation of Islam. This is what we've got to. We've got to lose this idea. What you're seeing with these people, this beheading thing, this massacring thing, this going out, taking prisoners of war and going out and just mass murdering. I've watched the ISIS videos of these guys shooting one young guy and one man, you know, one man after another in the back of the head or in the back, laying on the ground. I mean, they even tried to fulfill one of the actions of one of the leaders of Islam back then. They tried to make a river of blood, killing so many people, shooting them in the back of the head and pushing them in the river. They were trying to make a river of blood to copy what was done in early Islam. So these guys are trying their best to follow the teachings of Muhammad and Islam. And it's amazing. I mean, this particular tribe here that we're talking about, it says Muhammad wiped the entire tribe off the map. On his orders, the women and the children were enslaved. So all the men were killed, and the women and the children were enslaved. And I can tell you right now, the women slaves became forced sex partners. That happened. We'll get into that as well. But that's exactly what happened to captive women. And it is exactly, I mean, Pastor Billy just a few minutes ago in the news and the headlines was reading what's going on over there with this very thing of the women that are being captured. They're being raped or they're being forced into sexual jihad to serve the soldiers of Allah. And I want to show you this. We're going to play a clip here. This is from the Huffington Post. And there's actually two clips. I don't want to play the whole thing because it was long. So I brought out two clips. But this is the Huffington Post introducing the subject. They're going to have a little talk about the sexual jihad issue going on. And then you're going to hear this liberal reporter, journalist, whatever he is, with the Huffington Post later in the interview, in the second clip. You're going to hear him try to say, oh, now we want to be sure you understand, this is not teachings of Islam. This is just, you know, this radical element that's into this sexual jihad stuff. Well, I got news for you. That's not the way it was. If we go by what the Quran says, to follow Muhammad, that's what the Muslims are taught. Muhammad did this very thing. He killed men, and the same day, one woman, he killed her husband and father, and the same day he, quote, married her and, of course, had sex with her. She's still grieving over the death of her husband and her father, and Muhammad doesn't care. He just wants to have sex with her. I mean, this is the reality here. But we're going to play these clips. This is them introducing the subject of the sexual jihad, so you'll know it's just not Pastor Dean doing it here on Prophecy Quake. This is a liberal newspaper in the United States, the Huffington Post. This is an interview. He actually interviews three people. We're not going to play the interview, the entire interview. But I just want you to hear the introduction, and I want you to hear him try to take up and say that this is not a representation of the teachings of Islam. You need to hear this. Here we go.
Post Live, I'm Mark Lamont Hill. As the ISIS invasion of Iraq continues, the Al-Qaeda militant group is now demanding that Iraqi families offer up their unmarried daughters to take part in the holy war. Their role? To be cleansed by Allah by having sex with the jihadists, claiming it is God's will. Those who refuse face extreme violence and even death. To learn more about the situation in Iraq and what is being done to prevent these war crimes, we are joined by Claire Winterton. She's Vice President of Innovation and Advocacy for the Global Fund for Women. We're also joined by Yanar Mohammed, who is the director of the Organization of Women's Freedom in Iraq. And shortly, we'll be joined by Raymond Ibrahim, who is Middle East and Islam specialist. And he's also the author of Crucified Again, Exposing Islam's New War on Christians.
First of all, I love how he, at the end there, when he, his third interview is going to be with a guy named Raymond Ibrahim, which is, he's a Coptic Christian born. His parents were Egyptian, and he's written a book of the new war, Islam's new war against Christianity. You notice how he said, like there's not a, Islam is not at war in trying to wipe out Christianity. These liberals in America blow me away. But here he is trying to say, after he has three guests now explain to him what's going on in the Middle East and how these young girls and both Muslim women and non-Muslim women are being raped or being forced to have sex with these jihadists, these Muslim soldiers. And they've talked about this. They've talked about horrible things, women being raped by these people and then committing suicide because they can't, their culture won't even accept them anymore because even though they were raped, they're going to be considered as committing adultery. I watched the other day Dr. Michael Brown, formerly the president of Brownsville Revival School of Ministry. Dr. Michael Brown posted a video of a young girl whose father allowed her to be used as a sex jihad for the soldiers, and you know, just over and over again, day after day after day, and you know, she managed to escape and find a family that would help her, but her own father and her own mother allowed these evil people to do this, but again, because these are in the teachings of Islam. But here's the Huffington Post, and I'm just going to say, here's you a Western libtard, okay? Here's you a Western mentality trying to tell us that this is not Islam, this is just radicals. Here he goes. Listen to this.
It seems relatively new to Iraq, but again, the idea of sexual jihad is something that has existed for a long time, and at least since 2003, it's been something that's been a prominent practice. We saw it again in Tunisia. It's something that has taken place in several areas. But the idea is that women are supposed to play a comforting role to soldiers who are fighting a holy war. That is the idea. And, of course, we want to underscore that this is not an Islamic tradition. This is not something that is part and parcel of Quran.
Yeah, but let me interrupt you here.
So, again, he said, let us underscore here that this is not something that is part and parcel Islam. But I'm afraid that that's just not the case. It's so funny. He goes, oh, yes, we know that sexual jihad has been happening for years, very, very, very long time. We know at least back to 2003. I'm like, dude, what kind of fantasy world are you living in to think that this has just been in Islam since 2003? Where do you think they got this stuff from? That's what blows my mind about these people is that they think that this stuff just we just got this radical element, and you know they don't know what's going on. I mean, let's just listen to a few things here. I mean, Muhammad, of course, I have a list of all the women that Muhammad it's recorded in the Sunan Hadith that he was with. Some of them, again, he committed adultery with, but the list that I have here that was taken out of those books is goes up to 61 different women. Of course, number 42 was Aisha, which was the little girl who was 6 years old when he basically forced her parents to let him marry her, but of course he didn't consummate that marriage. He didn't have sex with her until she was 9 years old, but only because, if you read the story, because she got extremely sick, and she was sick, and he waited until she got better. Oh, but what he would do before he actually had sex with her, you know, in her vagina, is he would set this little girl on his lap and basically run his penis up and down through her thighs so he could have pleasure with this little girl. Now, this is in the Sunnah, this is in the Hadith about Muhammad, and even Aisha is said to have told this story about him. She tells this, and this is accepted in Islam. And this is why you see, like in Pakistan, that the Muslims in Pakistan are protesting a law that they can't marry a girl until she's 13. And they're according to Sharia, it's not according to the Quran and the Sunnah. It's not according to the way Muhammad wants us to do it. And so you've got this whole upheaval going on in Pakistan. You've got this going on, not too long ago, a child bride I can't remember if she was 7 or 8 years old, but she died from her wedding night with these people. People think this is not widespread, but Muhammad did it over and over and over again. There's a lot of real creepy things about Muhammad. It's funny that Aisha, his bride wife that was with him until she was 18 years old, he passed away when she was 18, but she said this in the Sunnah, whichever, it's a little complicated because you have Sunnah and some of the Sunnahs are considered Hadith and blah, 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 so that's why I keep saying Sunnah Hadith, it's just the way it is. But this actually was a quote narrated by Aisha, and she said, magic was worked on all of the apostles so that he used to think that he had sexual relations with his wives while he actually had not. This man was disturbed on so many levels that I can't even begin to put it into words. Probably one of the best articles, if you want to read the perverse sexual habits of the Prophet Muhammad as told from the writings of Islam. Okay, and this is not somebody trying to smear Islam. That's not what we're talking about. It's not a Christian trying to smear Islam. It's not unbelievers or atheists. These are from the writings of Islam, right? The perverted sexual habits of the Prophet Muhammad. What's beautiful, there's a site, it's called Rayman Ibrahim Ibrahim, I guess you should pronounce it, Raymond Ibrahim. That's RaymondIbrahim .com. His site talks about, he's got an account given by Father Zachariah Boutros. Now, this is not a Roman Catholic priest. This is a Coptic Egyptian priest who did a very, very good job at going through the Sunna Hadith and showing all the places where Muhammad was a very perverse individual. And I'm talking about very, very perverse. But you know what I'm going to do tonight? I know we're running out of time, and we're not going to have time because of all of our technical difficulties we've had this evening. We're not going to have time to get to all of them. I mean, it's a pretty long, long list. But I do want to bring up one here that just blows my mind. Now, I have checked this and double-checked these references, and there are Muslims who try to deny this is in the Sunnah and the Hadith. But this is a pretty damning, just to show you that a lot of people try to argue that Aisha wasn't 6 years old and that Muhammad didn't have sex with her when she was nine. But, of course, there's too many witnesses. There's several different witnesses. And even Aisha's own voice in the Sunnah tells you very plainly, I was 6 years old when he married me. Matter of fact, when she got called in for the marriage, she was outside playing with her friends. She was playing on a swing, and she got called in and shipped off to be with a 54-year-old man. It's just disgusting. But a lot of people think, well, that's just one incident. Oh, it may not be true. Well, there's a little bit more, because I think Muhammad had a little thing for boys. Now, remember, I've warned everybody that this is R-rated. So, again, if the children are in the room, you might want to put them to bed. You might want to get them out of the room for a minute, because I'm going to read from a hadith number 16245 called The Sayings of the Syrian. This is the chapter title, Hadith of Muayyah ibn Abu Sufyan. Okay? Good luck with that. All right? This is from a website. I posted this, and again, I've confirmed, I've checked the hadith myself, but the muslimissue.wordpress.com. But anyway, they just posted the hadith and actually have it also written in Arabic and then translated. But here's what it says. The hadith number 1345, The Sayings of the Syrians, chapter title, Hadith of Muayyah ibn Abu Sufyan, is what he says. I saw the prophet sucking on the tongue or the lips of Al-Hasan, the son of Ali. May the prayers of Allah be upon him, for no tongue or lips that the prophet sucked on will be tormented by hellfire. He, the prophet, then lifted up his, Al-Hasan's, shirt and kissed his little penis. Yes, that's what I said. He, the prophet, Muhammad, kissed the little penis of Al-Hasan or Al-Hussein. He, the prophet, Muhammad, put Hussein's legs apart and kissed his little penis. And that is exactly from the hadith. Another hadith from Majma' al-Zawaid al-Ibn Abu Bakr, and this is series 299, /9, so I'm just reading it like it says, translated into English. So here's another hadith, translated into English, that I saw the messenger of Allah putting Hussein's legs apart and kissing his little penis. So two different hadiths, and it says this was related by Al-Tabarani, and its authentication is fully validated by Islamic scholars. Hussein and Hassan is not the same name, so clearly, this is two accounts where he kissed more than one penis. So Muhammad would also invite young boys to see him wash his private parts. This is another part of another hadith where he used to take young boys to the bathroom with him so he could show them washing his private parts. I guess he was a bit of an exhibitionist. But this is about as perverted as it gets here. But this is actually one narrated by Anas bin Malik. It says, whenever Allah's apostle, Muhammad, went to answer the call of nature, I, along with another boy, used to accompany him with a tumbler full of water. Hisham commented, so that he might wash his private part. And this is Sahih al-Bukhari, Volume 1, Book 4, Number 152. And it says, see also number 153 and 154. Other sick practices of Muhammad include having his young child bride wipe or wash the semen off his clothes constantly. This is narrated by little Aisha. It says, I used to wash the traces of janaba, semen, from the clothes of the prophet, and he used to go for prayers while traces of water were still on it. Water spots were still visible. And this is from the Hadith Sahih al-Bukhari, Volume 1, Book 4, 2-9. We could keep going. It gives several different other Hadiths that confirm this. Of course, we know Muhammad himself, he had killed men, women, children when he raided villages and towns, mostly those whom he regarded unfit for slavery, like the ill, the elderly, the disabled. He murdered men and male children as he considered them a future threat to him and his growing cult of male children. He murdered adolescents but spared only the younger boys, all of those who hadn't yet attained puberty. According to the Hadiths, Muhammad had really ordered the killings of all adolescent boys and men from the raided villages and towns. None of the murdered males was ever given any chance to convert to Islam, the so-called religion of peace. So, we could just go on. The crimes, Muhammad's crimes against humanity are more than we can deal with here in one show. But let me just say this, as a Christian, and if you're a Muslim listening, or you're a liberal Western Muslim sympathizer who's afraid to just say it like it is, here's the deal. There is no comparison between the life and the example and the teaching and the ministry of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Lord of glory, the true Messiah, the true prophet, and Muhammad. Jesus, the Bible says, and everyone around him who spoke of his life, from the men who were closest to him, the hundreds of witnesses, the thousands that he healed and ministered to, said that he never sinned. Now, folks, you take a man who came and declared himself to be the Son of God, declared himself to be a prophet, who didn't say, you go and kill other people for me so that we can establish a kingdom. He said, no, I'm going to die for you on a cross. And because I've lived a sinless life, I'm going to pay your debt of sin, and I'm going to love you. And even if you've been a murderer and a pervert and an adulterer or whatever, if you come to me, my blood shed on the cross will forgive your sins. I'll wash your sins away. I'll give you a chance to go to heaven, and you don't have to kill anybody. You don't have to do anything but believe in me and follow me. Jesus said, love your enemy. Muhammad said, strike off their head. Come on, folks. Can there be, how is there any comparison to Christianity? I watched that video of that conference, that Muslim conference, and one of the theological doctors of Islam that was sitting up there, he just said, you know, Islam is the truth. Christianity and Judaism is not. And I sit here and go, Islam is the truth. If Islam is the truth, I don't want any of that truth. I don't want to have to go around chopping people's heads off because they don't agree with me. I don't want to go around killing men, women, and children. I don't want to go around with having to take a wife at 7 years old. I'm not going to do it. You see, I'm not going to follow Muhammad. I can look at him. I can look at Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who came long before Muhammad, as the Messiah of God Almighty, the Creator, not Allah, Yahweh. I can look at the model of what it means to be a godly, moral human being, and I look at Muhammad's life, and there is no comparison. You have to be brainwashed, brain dead, demon possessed, deluded and deceived out of your mind if you think that Muhammad is a superior prophet or a superior model to the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And you know what's amazing is Muhammad never healed anybody. He never raised anybody from the dead. He never cast out a demon. Matter of fact, he thought he himself was demon possessed. He never did any miracles, true miracles, that helped anybody. No, he just was a thief. He got his wealth from pillaging and plundering and robbing and stealing and killing. He got his way by lying. He lied to his wife. He'd be cheating on his wife. I mean, he'd say, you know, in the Quran, Allah said you can have four wives. He's got 61. And you want to say, listen to me, Muslim, you want to say that Muhammad is better than Jesus Christ? You want to say Muhammad is more trustworthy than Jesus Christ in the scriptures? You want to see, I know you guys are in here in the room and you can't because our microphones and everything just, you know, we had to go a completely different route, so I can't really comment much. It's mind-boggling, isn't it? I mean, it's mind-boggling that we have approximately 1.8 billion people following this. I mean, it's really time to rise up and quit, you know, for Muslims that are, you know, for Muslims that are out there that, you know, are not going down the violent path of jihad and sexual perversion and immorality, that really are trying to live decent moral lives. And I think about that, you know, it's time to really look into what your prophet has taught and his example, and it's time to find a better prophet. Stories now of Muslims coming to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior and being saved, they're too many to number. We're going to have, in the days ahead, we got a brother that we're going to have on who was a Muslim from Albania, and he's going to share his testimony of how he got saved. There's one we may even play, a testimony in its entirety. I listened to another this morning. Many Muslims are so hungry to know the true God, and they're finding out that Allah is not the true God. That Muhammad is not the true prophet. They're finding out that God Almighty, the Creator, the God of the Bible, God of the Old Testament and the New, Yahweh, Jehovah, Jesus Christ, Yeshua, HaMashiach, they're discovering that, and it was amazing. This one Muslim I listened to this morning who was crying out, God, show me who you are. Show me who you are. I don't know. I don't understand. You don't speak to me, Allah. But God, if there's a God out there, speak to me and tell me, show me who you are. And he said God's presence came in the room, and God spoke to him, and he said, who are you? And he said, I am that I am. And this Muslim said, I'm a simple man. What does that mean? I don't understand what that means. He said, I am the Alpha and the Omega. And he said, when I looked up, I saw him, and he had nail prints in his hands and his feet. I am Jesus. And that man became a Christian. He's had death threats and everything else, but he boldly shares his faith out there in the world. And he was raised to be a terrorist. I mean, he was raised, his mother telling him, reading the Quran to him and telling him that he was going to be a martyr and die as a martyr for Islam. So the good news, listen, Jesus loves Muslims. Jesus hates that Muslims are deceived by that wicked, immoral, lying, perverted, pedophile, false prophet, false teacher, adulterer, murderer, mass murderer by the name of Muhammad. Jesus hates that people have been deceived by that. Listen to me, any Muslim, listen to me. God Almighty, the true God, loves you, and he has a plan for your life, and that plan is to first come to know love, love that is in Jesus Christ, love that will forgive you of all your sins. You don't have to blow yourself. You don't have to chop somebody's head off. You don't have to give your daughters or your wives to these wicked individuals. Go to Jesus, and he will give you forgiveness. He will give you the relationship with the Almighty God, the Creator. You will have a relationship with God through Jesus Christ, the Messiah. You'll have a relationship with him that's real, that's alive, that's vibrant, that's powerful. You'll see people get healed. You'll see miracles take place. You will see demons, or as they call them in Islam, the jinns. You will see them run and flee because Jesus is powerful. Jesus' name, in fact, the Bible teaches us, and I've proved it myself because I've seen the deaf hear and the crippled walk and the dead be raised, and I've cast demons or jinns out of many, many people through the name that is above every name, and that is the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Yeshua HaMashiach, the true Messiah, the one who was foretold by prophecies hundreds, even thousands of years before he came, specific prophecies, where he would be born, how he would die, he would be raised from the dead, that he would be an atonement for sin, that he would live a sinless life. Do you know that there are no prophecies whatsoever foretelling the arrival of Muhammad except what Jesus said? False prophets will come, and they will deny me, and they will be antichrist. The only prophecy before Muhammad showed up that speaks about Muhammad. Oh, I know I'm hurting somebody's feelings about it. I'm telling you, folks, we're just scratching the surface tonight. I believe there are powers that be. You know, our president, Obama, is Muslim. He is a Muslim. There is no question he is a Muslim. That is why things are in such disarray, his policies in the Middle East and here at home. That's why he is a traitor. He is for the Muslims. He has opened the door and the floodgates to the Muslims. The southern border is not about Mexicans wanting a better life in the United States of America. It's to open the floodgates so that anybody and everybody, he can get his jihadists, ISIS, whatever people across the border. I'm telling you, these hijacked planes, you know, just before we went on the air, WorldNet Daily posted the article, these 11 hijacked airliners from Libya, because Libya has fallen to the Islamists there. Again, our fault, Obama's fault. Everything was fine under Gaddafi, much better than it is now. Just like Iraq was much better under Saddam than it is now. So what do we have? Now we've got Libya taken over by the jihadists. Now 11 jetliners have been hijacked. We've got the same instability. Pakistan is about to be overthrown by the jihadist Islamic radical, just, you know, fanatics. They're about to overthrow that place. Their 100-plus nuclear weapons are going to fall into the hands of some radical people. Now, think about this. You've got Libya falling to jihadists, Muslim jihadists. You got Pakistan in the process of falling. And don't think it can happen because Iraq fell almost overnight. If Pakistan falls to the radical jihadists, those bombs that couldn't travel all the way to the United States from Pakistan can be put on an airplane, flown under the radar. And all they have to do, folks, is detonate one in the atmosphere just above the United States. An electromagnetic pulse will turn out the lights in America for a long time. We will be blinded like Samson, crippled. That's all it will take is one. But see, you can mark it down. I don't know that they'll do it that way, but you can mark down what's coming. Big, significant, in America, huh? Unprecedented attacks are coming. And it looks like sooner than later. What do we need to do? We got 6 minutes left in this program tonight. I apologize again for our many difficulties, though I think those were from outside sources. And believe me, you know, people will think this is crazy, but I have people visit my Facebook page and my web page from Saudi Arabia, the United Arab Emirates, Egypt, Syria, all over the Middle East. And I have a friend who runs a really big Christian website and ministry. He's filmed the True God TV, Franklin Mayfield, he won't mind me saying. He filmed our first two End Time Bible Prophecy conferences last year and the year before. And he and I have spoken extensively how much security, how many servers and firewalls that he has to put up to stop the cyber attacks that he gets, and he says, from places like Saudi Arabia, governmental level cyber attacks from Saudi Arabia, Iran, and stuff. And the only reason that his site doesn't get shut down is Franklin has been in the IT field from the beginning days, you know, of it, and he knows what he's doing. I won't say what he told me how he does it, but it's brilliant how he defends his site from cyber attacks. The cyber attacks are a real thing, and I don't know if Blog Talk Radio in general may have been suffering from a cyber attack, or if the news got out through our websites and Facebook and everything of the subject we were going to cover, and some very rich and wealthy Arabs in other countries decided to put a little bit of their cyber attack squad on hindering this program. I don't know, but it's not out of the realm of possibilities at all. So just be praying. Be praying with us. We're going to try to do this again. I don't know when, but we're going to try to do it again. But I hope you've got a little bit, just enough, a little glimpse that what you're seeing in the Middle East, the jihad, the war, the violence, the rape, the torture, the beheading, these things are not some weird sect of Islam. You heard it from Islamic clerics, Islamic sheikhs, doctors of their theology. Say very plainly, normal Islam is believing all the punishments of death and destruction, war, fighting the infidel and the unbelievers and striking off their heads and striking at their necks and putting terror into them. All of that is in the Quran and the Sunnah and Hadith. That is normal Islam. If you come away with nothing this evening except the understanding that normal Islam is ISIS, normal Islam is Hamas, normal Islam is al-Nusra, is Hezbollah. If that's normal, that's why all these attackers, all these terrorists, it ends up being what? Muslims, because it is what is taught in their religion. So, goodness, we are getting close to out of time here. I want to welcome you again. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for those of you who have stuck with us through this difficult broadcast tonight. We're going to try, like I said, we were going to try to put up the recording. If for those of you that missed different parts of it, we're going to try to get those things done. Again, be praying for us. We will be back. I want to just let you know you can read some articles. We've got articles at deanodle.org. You can go there, deanodle.org, and you can read some articles. There's one, Islam, Russia, the Rise of Islam, Russia, and the Coming Nuclear War. So you can read that article. Just all kinds of stuff there, resources to look at. Go to YouTube. You can check us out on YouTube. Just type in my name, and there's videos there on the seals and the trumpets that go into more detail than we could tonight. And, of course, the Antichrist revealed. That one goes into a bit of understanding of the mark of the beast and how that's connected to Islam and their God Allah. We also have messages on iTunes, and, of course, we got archived messages on Blog Talk Radio. So just type my name Dean Odle, DeanOdle.org, in iTunes or YouTube or on Blog Talk Radio, and you can listen to some of the stuff about Islam if you're interested. But we're out of time this evening. Again, we bless you in the name of Jesus and pray that you have been touched. God bless.
You've been listening to Prophecy Quake with Pastor Dean Odle. Be sure to join us next week, same time. And to further connect with us, go to deanodle.org or Facebook, Dean Odle Ministries.